Coming up on TMSPM, farewell, Anthony.
Hey, you're that guy from that time.
Fake Kim Jong-un got held.
Ooh, do not eat the undercooked squid.
That's a good idea. This crab found Jesus.
App time and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM. TMS PM.
Never have we been so legacy as this week.
I know, this is...
Man, we hit 1500. It's just like everything goes to poo after this. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's TMS PM. It's Friday. It's June 8th, 2018, and we are back at it, putting our heads together, making it work, making it happen, right here on the PM edition of the show.
Yes.
Got some good idea or good ideas. Good news for the fine folks who are perhaps patrons. After this, Brian and I are recording a super secret thing for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're going to do one every month for you. So that's just how it's going to be.
That's right.
You can still get in on that if you want. Head on over to patreon.com/TMS. The reason we have a fifth episode a week is for that reason. And now a new reason. Extra bonus content.
That's right. Because we need to, you know, we love all of you.
Do we?
We love all of you.
Oh, wow. Hold on. I didn't know we were going to get a song. What is this? What's the song?
It's Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay. Something about it.
Who I dislike.
You got to get it, put it in you or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love all of you, but we feel like, you know, we are patrons. We have to, we hug a little bit extra long till it gets a little bit awkward.
Yeah,
That's what we do for our patrons.
I agree. Like you almost, you think it's long enough and you kind of almost jerk back a little to get out of the hug, but then
right, you're
the
trying
guy holds
to,
on.
Yep. Yeah. You do the pat, like kind of like the, like, yep, that's the hug.
Far enough, buddy. Far enough. Oh, wait, so you ran past it too fast. Do you not like the Red Hot Chili Peppers at all or just that song?
I don't like the Red Hot Chili Peppers at all. I've talked about this on the show.
Have
before,
we? I don't think we have.
If maybe we haven't. I feel like they are way more style than substance. I think that they are talented.
Yeah.
They are, they've figured out a thing and they own the thing that they're in.
Yeah.
But I think if you said, hey, your music can be as good as you do right now, and as many people will come to see you in concert as they do right now, and you'll sell as many albums right now as you do right now, but you don't get to kind of do this whole surf boy wearing socks on your crotch attitude thing.
Yeah.
But you get all the other stuff if you want it. I feel like they'd say, no, that's we don't want that.
Yeah. Me and Flea want something else.
Right.
I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I'm going to agree with you. Not that big a fan.
Yeah.
They're okay. My son, Nick, loves them. Thinks they're the best.
Yeah.
But they like anything that's retro right now. And by retro, I mean, you know, like Chili Peppers music from the early 90s or something. They're really into that. But
I went through a stage where I had the, you know, I had Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I had the Mofo Up Front Party Plan or whatever it was called. Mother's Milk.
Yeah.
Greatest Hits. What Hits, I think it was called. And I think I even had the one after that that had Aeroplane.
Oh.
Aeroplane music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
What about the one where they Californication? It's a theme song to a Showtime show. Not really.
It should have been, but it wasn't.
Yeah, they could have used it. But anyway. the peppers, man. Whatever. They're fine. They're fine. They're from a time.
Fine.
They're a thing. If you're into it, great. I don't judge. It's fine.
Now, it's probably the worst band to tell that you don't like. Especially if you were to tell them in person, because I think they'd beat the crap. At least Anthony Kiedis might beat the crap out if you said, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Is he still all ripped? He used to be pretty ripped.
I can't imagine that he stopped being ripped.
Anthony Kiedis.
I don't think he's like lounging around on his Point Break money.
Let's take a look. Know? He is still living off that Point Break cash. Point
exactly.
Break. Oh, here he is. He's cut his hair and looks like... he looks like a pervert. So there's that. no, he's still...
Okay. Now I feel less worried about...
he's still pretty put together. He's still kind of buffed out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know.
Oh, he's got the ironic mustache.
Yeah, he's kept it going. He's got a little soul patch in some of these shots, which I don't like. Yeah. Anyway. Oh,
so what's so, Vile 82 sent us something called Every Red Hot Chili Peppers Song Ever, which is my other complaint about the Red Hot Chili Peppers is
they all
once
the
they
same.
Had success with Under the Bridge, mm-hmm. every album had an Under the Bridge on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. Which makes them, I don't know, maybe it makes them smart. I don't know what it makes them, but I kind of like Flea.
He's I like
cool.
Flea.
Sure. Mm-hmm. He's cool. I like Flea. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go. Your Chili Peppers update for today. We'll check on in those guys next week. We'll see how see boys are doing. Speaking of
RHCP Watch.
There you go. There you go. Speaking of sad news, though, because it's another Anthony in the news. Today we found out that Anthony Bourdain has died.
Yeah.
He was found in his home or his hotel room. He had hung himself. Another celebrity suicide.
Wow. Along with Kate Spade.
Yeah, which bums me out because that sucks. It's also proof that people, it doesn't matter how much fame or money or whatever you have, if people are depressed and sad and have stuff, they just have that. Like,
yeah, for sure. His seemed, you know, I didn't know anything about Kate Spade other than the occasional photo you'd see and rare photo, like, she almost to me seemed maybe reclusive or I guess maybe I just didn't read the magazines that would have pictures of Kate Spade in them.
Right.
But I watched Anthony Bourdain's show and I was a fan of it. It gave us a lot of the ideas that we used for when we went to Japan. Like a lot of the things that he went and did were like, oh, I want to try that food or I want to go see that place. Let's make sure we add that to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he's a guy who came across so confident to the point of, you know, a lot of people's complaint about him was that maybe even came across as kind of arrogant.
Sure.
I always really liked his confidence. I was like, thought, all right, there's a guy who knows exactly what he's doing. You can drop him into any situation and he is like, he will, you know what to do and handle it and all that sort of thing. So his death really surprised me.
Well, it's important to remember that confidence and depression aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. Like
this is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this particular case, who knows? I mean, he didn't leave a note or say anything as far as we know, but he always did seem a little bit had a kind of a nihilistic sort of outlook on things, like sort of like, hey, I'm going to take this weird acid and go down this river where there are savages and diseases. I'll see, you know, like he kind of had a I wouldn't call it a death wish, but just, you know, it's like, go for it, like whatever it is, whatever danger I'm in, I don't care.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
maybe that feeds into it. I don't know.
Should be. Yeah. And you know, sometimes the people who have depression mask it by acting just the opposite, and in his case doing the TV show and being very outgoing and daredevil and will try anything and put any kind of food in his mouth and that sort of thing, you know, might have been the way of hiding his real,
could have been, yeah, or maybe he didn't hide it at all. Maybe he was always this way and he was always suicidal, and people who know him knew that, or maybe he was just like, I'm not in the mood anymore. Like maybe he just made that kind of decision. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I found out this week, and Wabbit Magic just reminded me of this, that Kate Spade was David Spade's sister-in-law. Sister-in-law.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know the two of them were related.
Weird.
But she married his brother and took his name. So
she was
Spade by marriage.
I didn't know her at all, but she was like a fashion person, right?
Yeah, clothing and handbag designer. I know Tina's got a couple, at least a one Kate Spade bag.
Should we know her from a reality show or something? Or was it,
no, that's the thing. As far as I know, she never did any of that stuff. Maybe she appeared on Fashion Runway or that. Like that's a show. Yeah. Fashion Runway.
Fashion Runway coming soon to Network.
America's top fashion runway.
Yeah. Well, it sucks, and I really liked. I don't like travel and food shows, generally speaking, but I really liked his.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling it's because of his thing. It's his deal that made it good, and I'm super bummed that he won't be able to keep making them. They were actually in France filming one. In the middle of filming one.
And
yeah. Filming it. But
well,
yeah.
No, but I mean...
Like that would have been weird, right?
Somebody might have been able to do something if they were in the process of filming.
Might have had some witnesses.
Stop, don't do that. Let's...
What sucked about it is his best friend found him, and that blows. Like, I cannot imagine what that must feel like to be that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about the bummer news, everybody, but Anthony Bourdain. Gone a little early. It was
61.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eek. All right. Well, there's that. That's an enjoyable thing we just talked about, wasn't it?
Now let's turn it around with some ha-has.
That's what I say. Oh, hey, wrong one.
Radio today.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to show you something. I didn't put this in the notes, but this was sent on my desk, and it reminded me to talk for a moment about it. See what I'm holding in my hands? I'll put it up to the...
That looks like screen. A Fallout. Oh, wait, no, maybe not Fallout.
Not Fallout.
Hold on, don't tell me. Okay. It's not Star Wars, is it?
It is not Star Wars.
Okay, hold on. It's Star-Lord the thing, no?
No, but okay. At least you're in the right ballpark.
Okay, we're in Marvel now. Oh, Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, exactly right. There so this go. Is an Ant-Man helmet. Less interesting that it's a freaking Ant-Man helmet. More interesting is the fact that I've finally got my 3D printer working again. Oh, remember, it was having the issue where it would start printing something.
Yeah.
It would get about to here, and then it would just keep putting out plastic filament, melted plastic filament, but it wouldn't lower the bed down. So it wasn't adding new layers. It was just adding new plastic and pushing the plastic around. So like basically this melted pile of goo. Mm. So I'm excited to say I did like 3 rollbacks on the firmware, like completely went back a few generations of firmware.
Yeah.
And got it working, and it slowly made my way back up. So I'm back on the current firmware. And it's working.
That's weird. So why would it be that? That's weird, isn't it?
You never know. Like when you're doing a firmware update, if there's any sort of glitch or power fluctuation or something that happens, it can affect it. That's why, you know, it's for the same reason that when you're saving, make sure you don't turn off your PS4 while this save icon is spinning.
Yeah. Kind of thing. That's a good point.
Yeah. I don't remember ever having an issue where I was updating the firmware and the power went out, but any little interruption could have caused that.
But you're so, current now. It's current firmware. You're up to date.
Current, and I successfully printed this, so I'm back to printing, baby.
Well done.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Hey, it's the evening news. You want to hear some news? I got news for you.
Tell me some news.
Here you go. A state trooper pulled over a cop. Sorry, let me flip this around.
Okay.
That is still correct, but state trooper pulls over the cop who delivered him 27 years ago.
So this guy
got
born and was delivered by a state trooper, probably or like a cop who like, oh, ma'am, I've got to get you to the hospital. It won't. You can't make it. It's not. It's happening now. Get me some hot water and some clean towels.
Yeah, I've seen movies. I've seen movies. This is exactly what happened.
And then however many years, 27 years later, that guy's now a cop.
Yeah.
And he's a state trooper. We don't even need to hear more.
Like, that's pretty cool. Wouldn't that be cool to pull over? I mean, I don't know if he gave him the ticket. I guess we'll find out.
Brian-splained the whole thing to everyone.
Yeah, well done. Brian-splaining. Traffic stop led to a surprise reunion between a New Jersey state trooper and a retired police officer who delivered that trooper as a baby. Trooper Michael Patterson pulled over Matthew Bailey. He was on a motor vehicle violation last week in Kingwood Township. According to the New Jersey State Police Facebook page, the men began talking, and Bailey mentioned he was a retired police officer from Piscataway.
There you go.
Piscataway.
Well, sure. If you're going to break it down like that, yes.
It's those words, man.
Piscataway.
Piscataway. It sounds like something you'd buy to get the cat pee out of your carpet. Anyway,
cat piss away.
Yeah, it should be cat piss away.
Nature's Miracle, aka cat piss away.
Cat piss away. It's starting to sound weird now that I say it over and over. Anyway, about an hour away, it turns out Patterson is also from there. And one thing led to another, they figured it out. He remembers this well. He he was there when they delivered a baby as a rookie. He even described the house and said the baby's name was Michael. So this wasn't on a traffic stop in the car, it was like at a house where somebody was having a baby. Trooper stuck his hand in for a handshake and said, "My name is Michael Patterson, sir. Thank you for delivering me." Bailey first encountered Patterson on October 5th, 1991.
No, this was a, it was a pull. He pulled him over. It's in the headline.
No. I mean the birth was in a house.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Yeah,
yes.
not the pullover. Patterson's, that'd be weird, like just walking to the guy's house. Hey.
Hey, you're under arrest.
Oh, you look familiar. Ding dong.
We've had some complaints. Oh, wait a minute.
It says here, so Patterson's mother, Karen, had gone into labor while shopping and was barely able to make it home. According to the New Jersey State Police, Bailey arrived to help the Patterson father at the time, who called the doctor, talked the young police officer through the delivery.
Oh, wow.
So these two just happened to bonk into each other all these years later. So that's, he was born in 91, so he's 20. Let's see, Taylor was 94, so 27 years old. And This guy's probably in his late 50s, 60s, which is awesome. So cool.
That is really cool. Yep. Yeah.
What a weird thing to have. Well,
it's really great seeing you again, Michael. Great. Well, I'm still going to have to give you this ticket.
I know. They didn't get into that. I want to know they got the ticket. What kind of reporter doesn't tell us?
Right.
This is bad, dumb news, guys. If you're going to have a news story like this, at the end you're supposed to say, by the way, he didn't issue a ticket. Or something. Tell me something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, happy ending this for us.
Yeah, because so far it's happy until then. And then it's like, you're really going to still give me a ticket?
Michael was then hauled away and turned into somebody's bitch in jail.
Into the slammer. Kim Jong-un impersonator got interviewed for about 45 minutes in Changji Airport. Where is that? It's Australian? No.
No.
Where is that? Changji. Probably China. Maybe it's in Korea. I don't know.
Singapore.
Oh, Singapore. Okay. Mm-hmm. An Australian comedian known for impersonating North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said he was detained by Singaporean. Is that how you say it?
Singaporean.
I like
That's
it.
Cool. That's a fun. Yeah, I'm Singaporean.
Yeah, it sounds good. Feels smooth and velvety when you say it. Anyway, Singaporean authorities on Friday, June 8th, and questioned about his political views. The incident came just days before the city-state hosts high-stakes talks between U.S. President Donald J. Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Notice they both have a J in the middle there. Mm.
Oh, right.
Mm, maybe, funny business.
Maybe those both stand for Jong. Donald Jong Trump.
I think they all stand for jerk. In response to queries from the Straits Times, you ever been there?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's in Singapore, so probably not.
Yeah, nope. It's a funny name for a newspaper from Singapore, by the way.
Probably there's probably some Straits of something there. Like,
sure.
I don't know what they'd be, but anyway. Yeah. Immigration and Checkpoints Authority of Singapore said Lee Howard Ho Won arrived in Shanghai. Oh, so he's from Australia, but he's Asian descent.
Right.
Completed the interview. He was allowed to go into Singapore at 5:50 a.m.
I'm Kim Jong-un. Hello.
Hello. Very convincing.
Oh, man, I'll meet with Donald Trump.
I oppress my people.
Interview me.
He's probably better at this than we think. He is,
I think probably. Let's hope.
He goes by the name Howard X. That's his stage name, says here. And
or Howard 10, as we learned from.
Yeah. This is what I doubt. I doubt they were holding him over because they thought he was actually Kim Jong-un. I think they held him because they thought maybe he was a wacko that was going to do something during the summit. Because wouldn't you? Like if someone dresses up like Trump and ends up in your airport, wouldn't you stop him and go, what are you doing?
Hold up, dude. Yeah, what are you planning on doing?
Yeah.
What brings you to our country?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Is it the food? Is it the nude? Because you can get a lot of nude in Singapore. Did I tell you that when I was in China, a couple of factory owners tried to get me prostitutes for a karaoke thing? Did they ever tell you about that?
No. Do you do karaoke differently than I do?
Well, they do in Asia.
I sing in front of a crowd.
Oh,
what
yeah,
do you do?
No, karaoke. If you're in China, I learned this very quickly. If you're in Hong Kong or mainland China, karaoke means very different things than just singing in front of people.
Really?
Karaoke means you are going out to end up with prostitutes at some point in the evening. Now, it may involve karaoke.
Yeah.
But it's like code for other stuff.
Wow. Okay.
It was in 2003 or whenever I was there. So I don't know if it's changed, but that was the deal.
That's interesting. But
I told you about the guy that says, you like a girl? You like a girl? And I said,
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yes. No, I'm fine. He goes, oh, you like a boy? I'm like, no, I don't like a boy.
You like a dog?
I think we have one we have not eaten yet.
Well, keep going.
Yeah. There's no end to how many options we have. Anyway, there's that guy. Good luck to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is great, given that it's a follow-up to yesterday's snake head story. That
this actually kind of combines. I'm looking at this, the headline.
Yeah.
It kind of combines the real snake story with the snake story that you gave us.
Exactly. It's all snake oil. A woman's tongue. Check this out. This is not me, my words. This is the headline. A woman's tongue was inseminated by a squid after eating undercooked seafood. Again, in the Koreas. South Korea, this happened. 63-year-old yeah. woman.
I think that I'm going to say that word got put in there by a translation error.
That's how it feels to me, because it said, okay, the description is, this woman in South Korea had her mouth inseminated by sperm after eating some undercooked seafood, resulting in doctors discovering 12 small, white spindle-shaped, bug-like sperm bags embedded in her tongue and gums. Bug-like sperm bags.
Spindle-shaped bug-like sperm bags.
Oh, that was I wrestled under that name for years.
I can't even use that as I played bass for the spindle-shaped bug-like sperm
bags. In this corner, bug-like sperm bags.
Oh.
Never want to wrestle that guy. As so documented. sorry, go ahead.
That's what squid do?
Well, they just if they're not dead, they'd go, or if it's not cooked out of them, it just, you know.
Holy mackerel.
You'd open up a bag of trouble, I guess, like any animal. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I assume if I went and killed a live male goat and then bit into one of his doodles there, I'd end up with a mouthful of goat yucky. Don't you think?
I mean, I don't want to get... It is TMSPN.
It's after dark, Brian. Let it out.
It is after dark. But, I mean, I guess that has to be hanging out somewhere waiting to be...
Yeah, it doesn't just
let
disappear.
Loose upon the world.
Yeah, it doesn't just disappear. But why? Right. Why these things would try to make entry? Well, I mean, it must have been very undercooked, is what I'm saying. Because there's no way, like, if this was cooked at all, it seems like it should have killed any spermatozoa that existed inside of the undercooked.
Nicely done,
thing,
Dr. Westheimer. Well done.
No problem, spermatozoa.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like the fact that they use the word inseminated on the...
Yeah, because it makes it sound like her mouth is pregnant now.
It's pregnant, her mouth is pregnant.
Yeah, it does say this. Rather foolishly, the woman had not removed the internal organs of the squid and proceeded to only parboil? That is. I've never heard of that.
That's like a...
You'd know that because you're like a cook and stuff.
Yeah, it's like what you do with a sous vide. It's like a low, slow boil to cook something.
Oh, well, that wasn't enough here because it means and this is their words.
Too low, too slow.
Spermatophores. That's their word, not mine.
Yeah.
Were still alive and well. As soon as she put the piece in her mouth, she felt like many bugs were biting her oral mucosa. Mucosa. The study reads, she experienced severe sharp pain and spat out the entire portion without swallowing. Despite that, she could feel many squirming white bug-like organisms penetrating her oral mucosa. I can't read this anymore. It's gross.
No, it's really... So parboiling is to partially cook food by boiling. So let's say you're making a lasagna and you're adding something to it. Let's say you're adding squid to your lasagna.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the lasagna only needs to cook for 40 minutes, but you need to get 60 minutes of cooking time on the squid. You'd parboil the squid for 20 minutes, then put in the lasagna, then bake the lasagna for another 40 minutes to finish the cooking.
It's kind of when people blanch something so that it's crispy before you cook it or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like
a
preparatory thing. Also, probably is partial. Right?
Yeah, that's what it stands for, yep.
Well, I've learned something today.
I hate to admit that I went to the website, to Business Insider, by the way.
Oh my gosh, is that where this is from?
It's from Insider? Business Insider. Oh. That's Squid Lift is Business Insider, if you know what I mean. TMS.
That's not her.
PM.
Is that her? That's not her. Is that her?
No, that's not her.
Okay.
And I don't even think that's the squid. I think they found a picture of a squid meal you could eat or that somebody would eat. I don't think I'd eat that.
Oh, I couldn't eat this. No way. Is this one of those ones, if you dump salt on it or whatever, it comes back to life? Like, if you put, you've seen that before, where they put like soy sauce on a dead squid and like starts moving again. Have you seen that?
Oh, really?
Brian! I have to show you this. I have to show you this. Okay, YouTube. Hold on. I'm gonna show it to you.
All right. I'm curious about this.
All right. We're going to find a video version because they're going to be the best. So let's.
Does it really come back to life, or is it just like the salt kind of?
Oh, it just stimulates nerves
the
and
muscle.
Stuff.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't actually live again, but.
Okay. I still want to see it.
It's really gross. Squid comes alive with soy sauce. All right. Here's this. Oh, yeah. This is it. This is so great.
All right. Where are you putting
this? Okay. I'm going to put it in the chat room.
Okay.
And then I'm going to mute it because it's loud. Yep. I'm going to put it in the chat, and then I'm going to also play it for the chat room. So, perfect. Brian, here comes your link. Boy, this is... Okay. Why isn't this working? Oh, because I have the chat room in the wrong place. All right. So, I've given it to you.
Okay.
Here you go, chat room. Watch this. A little soy sauce.
My side, too.
Oh, Lord. I mean, it's intense.
Oh.
Would that not give you just the biggest freak out of your life?
Yeah, I don't think I can do it.
I couldn't do it either.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's the something in the soy sauce just like stimulates the nerves and makes it go. They go for a second one. It doesn't quite get as much, but that thing wants to get out. Like, look, it's getting out.
Yeah, no kidding. Topples. It is really. It's totally getting out.
Yeah, and I can't eat this. I would say to the waiter, I can't eat this. Hey,
you guys have a Burger King near here?
Yeah, excuse me, I can't eat this. Why? Because it's moving all over the place rapidly.
Yeah, okay. Yep, nope.
Yep. Not doing
might have a problem with that.
Yep. I can't believe you never saw that. Isn't that great?
No, I've never seen that. That's hilarious.
Zombie squid, man.
Yeah.
Dang. So cool. All right, one more story about seafood. I don't know why these are all themed today. A Florida woman says she found Jesus on a horseshoe crab.
Just riding it down the street. Yeehaw!
Like his mount.
I got this for the dungeon achievement.
Oh, that's so good. Oh my gosh. All right, so here's the deal. The photographer from Florida is telling the world she has found Jesus on the back of a horseshoe crab. I'm putting a photo up for the chat. Brian, you have a link. You can kind of see it for yourself. Kathy Rader says her friend found a horseshoe crab while they were walking to a new Smyrna beach and gave it to her. I looked at it and said, thank you very much. And I took it home and washed it out and set it on my front porch to dry. She thought there was nothing special of the shell at first. Yeah, I have bad news for you. There's still nothing special about it. Anyway, a few days later, she did a double take. I was doing devotionals that I do in the morning. God spoke to me and said, if you will wait, I will give you perfection. That's when she turned around and saw the image of Jesus on the crab shell. I went past it and noticed something, and looked back and looked in the face of Jesus. I kind of chuckled to myself and go, that's funny. It kind of does, she told the station. Pattern kinda recognition does. And humans. Yeah. We see weird stuff all the time.
Well, we do. But, I mean, that does look like. I mean, it is pattern recognition.
That's all it
no
is.
Argument.
That's all it is.
I know, but I'm just saying. That does look like Jesus.
Let's find some Cheetos that look like things.
Oh, I know. I know.
Like things. There we go. Like, okay.
But it's not like it looks like George Clooney, right? It's not like it looks like Anne Hathaway.
Well.
I mean, the pattern on that horseshoe crab looks a lot like the pattern we see of Jesus.
Someone found one that looks just like Donald Trump.
I don't think it. Oh, really? Cheetos looks like Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you this too.
Feels a little redundant.
I'm gonna put this in. Text it to you is what I'm gonna.
Doesn't
do.
Every Cheeto look like Donald Trump?
Donald Trump. Here you go. I'm sending it to you in your text. So they got a profile shot of a Cheeto that kind of looks like Trump.
Yeah, totally.
See what I mean? Like a lot of these are penises, but
yeah.
But my point is, and I get it, it does. It's like the pancake one that looks like him, or the dog butthole that looks like him.
Sure.
Like, yes, of course these things look like it, because our brains see a pattern and go, oh, that looks like a thing.
Right, right.
And so she's crazy, is all I'm saying. Enjoy yourself, lady. It's not like you've suddenly, oh, I got a crab that looks like Jesus, I'm saved. Come on.
Well, yeah, no. And see, that's the word. I mean, I will say, yeah, that does look like... Looks like Jesus, but that's about where it ends for me. It's like, what a funny thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, but
right.
That's awfully interesting.
I draw a guy with no hair on a comic and everyone goes, ooh, that's Brian Ibbett.
Right.
And maybe subliminally I am creating you. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, she has a Facebook post called Holy Crab. Get it? Like crap, but...
Oh, I get it, yes.
Crab, but it's holy. And
holy crab.
Yeah, yes. It's pretty good.
It was delicious.
Pretty bad. All right, break time when we come back. App time. I got a good one for this week. Very excited about that. We're also going to actually put Dan's segment in the show. Last week, I forgot to do it in post, so what we had was us going, all right, here's Dan, and we're back, and there was nothing in the middle.
Just like what we hear.
Yeah.
Everybody else got to hear that, too.
Nice. I feel bad that we did that. So we're going to fix that. So come on back for all of that, but do it first with a song. Brian, what do you got?
Yes, this will be an interesting one. It is kind of a protest song for this day and age, or at least... seems like it should have been released a long time ago, but it was released on May 31st of this year. Mm. And it's called Goodbye Europe. It's a band called Satellite. It's really put together by this one guy, a guy named Peter Cook. He's leader of, and not Peter Cook, the comedian or actor, but leader of the Rage Against the Brexit Machine. He's released stuff under his name, Peter Cook, Downtown Mystic, which featured Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, Kill the Giants and the Boy from Space. But this project is kind of like a Diamond Club thing. His intent is to crash the UK top 40 with a stream of singles under the banner of Rage Against the Brexit Machine.
Great.
Hoping that they'll build some, momentum and traction and make it up onto the UK top 40. For me, it just reminds me like a little bit of Paul Hardcastle's Na-na-na-na-na-19.
I love that song. All right.
Yeah. So that's what this reminds me of. Here is Satellite with the song Goodbye Europe.
I'll put my hands up now and say I made a mistake. I feel stupid. Like, articulate, I'm well read. To be sucked in by these lies. It's almost as if I said, to be patriotic, you've got to vote Brexit. To love the NHS, you've got to vote Brexit because we're going to give them all this money.
Goodbye, Europe. We are so sorry. Europe, we are so sorry.
The penny drops a while back and it's been rattling around for ages. It took me a few weeks to actually get the moral fibre and the backbone say I was wrong. And I voted wrong. My lad's 13. When he's older, I will apologise to him. I will say sorry to him. And I was one of those guys who sat there and said, no, we'll take back control.
Goodbye, Europe. We are so sorry. Goodbye, Europe. We are so sorry.
All I can say is thank God we're leaving.
Trigger Article 50. Trigger Article 50.
All I can say is thank God we're leaving.
Trigger Article 50. Trigger Article 50.
I'll put my hands up now and say I made a mistake. I feel stupid. Like I'm articulate, I'm well read. To be sucked in by these lies. It's almost as if I said, to be patriotic, you've got to vote Brexit. To love the NHS, you've got to vote Brexit, because we're going to give them all this money.
Goodbye, Europe, we are so sorry. Goodbye, Europe, we are so sorry. Europe, we are so sorry.
So are the robots sorry, or is the who's sorry?
I don't know.
I think the robots
I don't know,
are sorry.
I don't, it's people you don't know who's sorry.
Yeah, I can't tell. Somebody's sorry.
Somebody's sorry.
But who knows who?
That's right. Exactly.
Who made who? Oh, listen to this. We got a little something to start us off. Get my pocket out.
That's slappy.
Well, that's no good. Skype quit unexpectedly. Thanks, Skype. Look at this. You guys, check it out. See that window right there? That's no good. Don't know why that is. No reason I can think of. Don't worry, we'll fix it. And we'll get Brian right back on the show. All right, we're back, everybody. Everything's fine. We're back. We usually don't get this far into the song, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
It's cool. Hey, so it's time for us to do App Slappy. We take apps that we've been fiddling around with during the week, and we come in here and we tell you if we think they're good or not. Brian and I are both iOS guys, but often these are on all platforms, and that's what we're hoping today. Okay, so I will be the first to admit that I am super sick of games where, imagine if you will, this layout, Brian.
Okay.
You're holding your phone this way.
Yeah.
What's this called?
Landscape.
Landscape, thank you. Mm-hmm. And in landscape mode, you open up game and you do some stuff, and then you brought to a main screen, and sometimes that screen will have, up in this corner, three or four little currencies.
All right. Okay, yeah.
Tell me if this sounds familiar to you at all. Maybe over here there's another set of things that go down this way, and one's like, thanks for logging in today. Here's some free fake gold. And the next one says, here's your quest. You should do these things. And the other one's like, go to the store. There's a special right now for $7 for the bet. So you know
Gosh,
what I'm talking about.
Marvel Strike Force certainly has all those things you describe.
Everything has it. It's so permeating the business that it's impossible to ignore it. I normally, that is such a turnoff for me that you better really have a good game for me to even care. I think I found one of those.
Really? Okay.
It's called Space Pioneer.
Oh.
And it is hard to explain, except I want you to hear this intro music. So hold on a second. I meant to have this all up, but I didn't have it handy. Okay. So hurry up, browser. All right, there we go. Okay, so this is Space Pioneer. Okay. So, I just want you to hear this sound. Here's the cinematic trailer. Probably got some music in it. No, that's got gameplay in it. Hold on. Sorry, everybody. This is just something I just got to show you. I just have to show you. Okay, here we go. This is the beginning of it. Oh, yeah. Hear this. Very retro.
Love that.
Spacey kind of, 1960s, 70s space music. Anyway, what you do in this game is you go down to the planet, and you got these guns, see? Mm-hmm. And you move around with your thumb, and then you fire with your other thumb and shoot and blow up stuff, and it tells you what your quests are. So you might have, this quest we're showing the video right now is destroy the nest, kill elite enemy, and return to the beacon. So you do these things, and this gameplay is completely non... There's no microtransaction to make in this mode. That I'm talking about right now. You're just killing stuff and having fun killing it.
Right.
You then, once you've done your quest, you go back, and it tells you when to do it. You go back to the ship, and you do other things. And I'll get to that in a second. The actual gameplay of blowing up these creatures and screwing around down there on the planet is really satisfying, very fun. It has a very dual-stick shooter, but also kind of a I-need-to-do-quests kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, I like the graphics, by the way.
Yeah, the graphics are nice. It's very retro and trippy and kind of minimalist approach, but also kind of nicely detailed. This guy's an idiot. Go back and get your gold. You're an idiot. Oh, my gosh. Whoever's playing this, I want to punch in the nuts. He left all of his gold. Anyway, you get gold for finishing things, and you should be picking that gold up because you're going to need it later. When you're done fighting all this stuff, then you go back and you're like, oh, here's the screen with five currencies and blah, 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 blah. The nice thing is it's really just one currency. And yes, it wants you to buy them if you are in the mood to, or you can just play the game and grind out the gold yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you upgrade gear, you upgrade abilities, you can swap in and out abilities. I might want a grenade. I might want a teleporter. I might want, you know, different things. There's also a collection of like 15 guns you can have. Hmm. And you can equip those based on whatever. When you get loot, sometimes that loot is a new weapon. Sometimes it's an upgrade to your existing weapon. So you upgrade those for gold. That's where your gold goes.
Okay.
And chat room, that was the screen I was talking about right there. The one with all the stuff on it that you're used to seeing in every mobile game. but it's just a great gameplay loop. It's really fun to go do the quest, beat the thing, survive the onslaught, go back, rinse and repeat, do it again. Like, it's just a fun gameplay loop. And I think it's absolutely worth playing for anybody who just sort of likes, have me go do a thing. It's random every time. Oh, there's a boss fight. Sweet, now I got more stuff. Like, it's just got a good, I don't know if I call that Diablo, but it's like that kind of, you know, where you
yeah.
get new stuff, go back, spend it, have better things going out the next time.
Right.
Simple, but I find it really satisfying.
I like the look of this a lot. Yeah, I just downloaded it, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, you let me know what you think. It's free, and I paid $3 for some deal they had for like 30,000 gold. They just kind of give you a boost. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth doing that. I don't think you have to do that, though. It just takes you longer to upgrade stuff is all. So
I do like supporting the developers. So you sure. know, if it's like something that's like, all right, I'm going to be playing this, I'll totally throw some money towards the developers for sure.
Yeah, I think people would like it. So again, it's called Space Pioneer. It is on iOS and Android and is just a nice polished game that will make some of you go, ugh, microtransactions. But just pretend you don't see those for a bit and just play and see what you think, because the gameplay is really king here. I'm really impressed with it.
Awesome.
So there you go. Available now. Get it while it's hot. Brian, what'd you bring?
I brought something that for me, so number one, it's not a game for a change.
Whoa.
For me.
Whoa.
I know. Whoa. And for me, it's been a great way to keep track of all of these shows and movies that I'm like, oh yeah, I need to watch that, or I need to catch up on that, or I need to do this. I used to use Just Watched or Just Watch for that process or for that reason. I'm liking this a lot more. It's called Real Good, R-E-E-L-G-O-O-D. There's a website and there are apps for your devices. And it's really the apps that, for me, sealed the deal. Because be sitting there on the couch, it's like, this is when you want to set something to remind yourself of something you want to watch. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool is that you've got several different screens. You've got a screen showing like TV and movies that you've got on your list that you need to watch. And it keeps track of like, oh, well, you've watched the first four episodes of this show, but you still have the rest of the eight in the season. Mm-hmm. And you have to go in there and like manually do that if you want. I don't. I just basically wipe it out once I'm done with the season.
Mm-hmm.
But the Discover tab is where this thing really kills it for me.
Oh, look at this. This is great.
Because it's like it starts by showing you all the shows everybody always recommends,
yeah.
right? It's like, oh, The Americans and Lucifer and Suits and The Walking Dead and Blacklist. It's like they're not showing you, you know, Two Girls, a Guy in a Pizza Place or trying to think of Valerie's Family or something like that. It's like, okay, that's a show from then.
Sure.
They're showing you things that people are always recommending you see. So you can say, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to watch Lucifer or Animal Kingdom or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you add it to your list and then it says, okay, putting that on your list. And then you start tracking it, keeps track of where it's streaming. So we can say, hey, that show you want to watch just released their third season on Hulu. So you can do that and catch up with all that right now.
This is great. I like this a lot.
It's such a great interface. And it even tells you like new things that have been added. So you can say, oh, well, show me what movies have just been added to all the services. And you tell it what services you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that Thor Ragnarok was just added to Netflix. Blade Runner 2049 was just added to HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Coco was just added to something. It's like, oh, cool, I forgot I wanted to see blah, blah, blah. I can go watch it.
You also filter, it looks like, by IMDb rating, Rotten Tomato rating, ratings for like age ratings. So if you're looking for stuff that's, you know, for 13 and younger or whatever, you can easily do that. That's pretty neat.
It is really neat. Really like it. Wow, Free Rangers is saying it's not on Android. Really? I thought it was going to be on both. It seems like such an easy thing to put on.
Oh yeah, this isn't. This there's no reason this shouldn't be on Android.
That's, yeah, I mean, dumb. I guess you can just use the website from your Android. I guess the AM down at the bottom of their website. The only app is on the App Store. Sorry. I guess I knew. I was hoping. I assumed. It was such
I would have absolutely bet money it was there, but
because it's not like a game where they've got to like totally recode it for two devices. It's a, you know, it's a database that presents things in a really cool way.
What's this Fauda show? What's this on Netflix? Top Israel agent comes out of retirement to hunt for a Palestinian militant he thought he'd killed, setting a chaotic chain of events in motion. It's, right now it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
8.4 out of 10 on IMDb, and it's Netflix original. This looks great. Oh, and that's, you can cool. just dive right into the episodes here.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Like, just click on it and it goes right. Like, if you're doing this on your tablet, it launches the app. What I want is this on my Apple TV. And I imagine, you know, maybe it's there. I don't know.
It might be.
Yeah.
I wonder if this would compete too much with their whole... Because the way that, and the Apple TV does this pretty well, but you can like voice search for a single thing or a name of some actor or whatever, and it will give you where it all is everywhere. So maybe that would be too close to what they're doing. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Documentary. Oh, dude, I'm going to use this. This is great.
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah. Super, super cool.
Always looking for better solutions in this area. And Just Watch is still pretty strong, but it's good to have competition there. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll turn around and do even cooler stuff. No, I don't want to watch Pawn Stars. Thank you very much. Can I just, can I just exit that one? Never look at it again maybe. As long as I live? That'd be great. Anyway.
But yeah, so this is telling me that, Preacher's coming back in 2 weeks, and then Arrow's not coming back until next year, and or later this year, The Flash, Game of Thrones, July 24th, 2019 is when that's going to be streaming. So I don't know. It's just really cool to be able to see all these things in one place.
Yeah, this is awesome. Great recommendation. Real Good, R-E-E-L-G-O-O-D.
Real Good.
iOS and freaking desktop, because it's on browser. You know what? Android people, let's just run the web page.
Exactly. That's what I said. Yeah, just throw it on your browser and do it there.
Yeah. It probably says, there's a whole new on section. What?
Right. So you can see like, this has just been added to HBO or just been added to... Yeah, cool, right?
Yeah, if I want to see Spawn, I can go watch it.
Yeah, do movies on your sources. So it's like, Anon or whatever that's called.
Leprechaun 3. That's a good one. Well, anyway, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well done. Good pick. Good pick you got there. Here's even a better pick. Dan, the tabletop man, coming at you for real this time.
For realsies.
Yep, he's going to say some stuff, and we're going to hear it. Well, we're not really, but others will hear it. Everyone will hear it after the fact. We'll be right back.
Greetings, programs. It's Dan, the Board Game Man, and I'm back for some more board game goodness. Today, I'm just going to talk about one game, but I wanted to talk about a huge game that I got into last weekend. It's a game of epic proportions, one I've kind of mentioned in the past on a show, but it's called Twilight Imperium. I played Twilight Imperium 4th edition last weekend. Now, this, of course, is by Fantasy Flight. It's a big old game. It's a huge coffin box type game. It's a little smaller now that they've kind of been able to consolidate down in a box, but it is kind of traditionally one of those big coffin box games. It's called Twilight Imperium 4th Edition by Fantasy Flight Games. This is by Dane Beltrami, Corey Knitza, and Christian Peterson. This being a 4th edition of the game, so it's been around for quite a while. Now, 4X means explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate. So this is kind of like your Civ type game. Now, it's the last time I played big old TI 3rd Edition was probably about 5 years ago, almost to the day that we had our TI 4 game. It's a game that takes generally around 6 to 12 hours, and I'm not even kidding. And that's also depending on how many players you have, especially with the new edition. Smaller player count will be a little quicker. But our last one where we did TI3, it took us about 12 hours. And we had 6 players, which is kind of I think that's the max you can get on one edition of it. The new one actually still goes up to 6 players, 3 to 6 players. But it's still, I mean, they tell you it's going to take about 4 to 8 hours, but I would really say it's going to be a good 6 to 8 hours. This one took us 10 hours last weekend. Of course, that's including a few pauses for food, and we recorded podcast segments for between each round and during the rounds as well. Of course, this makes it a game Scott's never going to want to play, but I'm pretty sure that if we had all the time in the world and a good teacher, he would actually really dig this game. And I know Brian for sure would dig this game. So, you know, of course, if time was no object and we had a good Saturday, we had a good little 5 of us sitting around to play, you guys would absolutely love this game. So it's a space game with a ton of different races to play. Each race has its own unique powers and unique setups and different ships and such like that. And kind of the big old you know, hex type board where you're kind of equidistant from each other, and the board looks a little bit different, where there's a lot of different there's even wormholes, there's Mechatol Rex, which is the capital in the middle of all the system, and there's also things like asteroid fields where you have to have a technology to go through. There's all sorts of really cool things on there. The good news is that TI 4th Edition, which came out last year at Gen Con, really streamlines things quite a bit. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean a quicker game, but for me, it made it a game that I really wanted to play again. So what changed? Well, the actions you can perform are much easier to understand. You can basically build, move, play cards for actions, and perform your selected major strategy action for the round, along with following other people's strategy action as well. I know that sounds quite simplistic, but to be honest, it's really not too bad now. It really gives you a lot of actually good things to do during the round. And of course, you can kind of stem a bunch of those things together in there, and you're going to get some trading, and then of course you're going to be bullying and social gaming it around the table to bully people out of certain sectors that you're going to tell them you're going to attack so that they get away from those planets that you really want. And of course, the combat. You know, if you move into a sector with somebody else, there's going to be a little bit of a space combat. You may take over their worlds, or if there's nobody there, you can just take over the worlds yourself. And that's going to give you influence or resources. Another one of the changes for the TI-4 is the strategy cards themselves. Now, this is each round, you're going to draft these cards, and they're all numbered 1 through 8, which have the big actions you can take. Now, these actions basically are your leadership, where you're getting extra action tokens, diplomacy, where you can actually get certain sectors where people can't attack you in there, politics, which gives you the speaker token and some more action cards, construction, which gives you a little bit more PDS or space docks, which is planetary defense system. The next one is trade, where you can get trade goods, and that's big in this edition because you have to trade commodities in order to turn them into trade goods, and trade goods are quite valuable in the game. Warfare, which actually makes it's a little bit more than what it sounds. Warfare actually just lets you move a little bit more and move into places that initially you moved into, because normally in the game, once you place a token down and move into a sector, you can't move things into or out of that area again, so you can't just, you know, have a death ball army and go all over the place. But with Warfare, you can take that token out and then it lets you activate it again, which is probably why they call it kind of the Warfare action. There's also technology, because there's a huge tech tree, which is amazing. And that's why I kind of say where you've got to get the expand or exploit means you're going to, you know, you're getting that tech tree in this game. And a tech tree is amazing. And a lot of each one of the factions will have like 2 specific techs at least for their faction, which you can do. And then there's an action called Imperial, which is how you can score a public objective if you've got it. And you can also get kind of these secret objectives throughout the game. And that's really how you're going to get victory points throughout the game. Now, picking these 1 through 8 is really how the crux of the game works, because you're really going to be getting strategy cards, which you're going to want to, you know, those you're going to do them each round. And that's going to be your initiative. That's how your master plan is going to come. And you can follow other people in their strategy cards and their actions by doing that. So that's the huge change from TI-3 to TI-4. Because in TI-3, you could take these cards. One of the cards actually just gave you a point. And then there was another one that lets you go first and taking the actions next turn. So basically, the first 3 or so picks were kind of auto-picked each time, because you didn't want to miss your free point every couple of rounds, because then you'd be behind. This streams like things quite a bit in the game. So the game really only plays till the first player gets 10 victory points, and that's it. First player to an initiative of the strategy cards is super important, because in that last round, if you get 10 points before anybody else, you don't kind of play the game out. You don't play that round out to see who else would get 10 and have a tiebreaker. No, it's first person to 10 wins. You know, that's why the last round and things like that, those initiative order is huge. And some deals you may have to get different initiative orders and stuff like that. And there's even a race that gives you the 0 initiative order. You know, it takes about 6 rounds total. But why is it so long? Well, it's the fact that it takes time to take over the planets in some of the areas. You got to get influence, you're negotiating deals, you're voting on agendas. Oh, agendas. That's one of the big changes, and also one of my favorite things in TI-4. TI-3, the laws and voting and such didn't happen as much as everybody wanted, and it was kind of the most fun part of the game. Here in Twilight Imperium 4th Edition, it happens basically every round after, starting with the round, that someone takes over the capital planet, which is called Mechatol Rex. And that's a big planet that you're going to get, because it gives you a permanent victory point. It also gives you a bunch of influence, and there's other things that, you know, you may want to score from that. But what agendas are, they're basically the global events. Say law, for instance, where you have to vote on something, you know, with your influence, and you may change a global rule of the game according to that card or not. You may have good or bad effects whether you voted for or against it. So there's really a lot to think about with these votings, but that's in a good way, because that's what actually really kind of makes it fun. Because when you're trying to get jockey for votes, because you're using your influence on a planet you own, you're going to jockey for votes on other people. You may be trading them things, or maybe having a little bit of a truce or alliance, or you may trade them these trade goods. So that's really, really good thing that's in there, and it really can influence the game. You can also vote for, there'll be cards that come out that may change certain planets in a system, and you're kind of voting on which planet, and they may give them more influence or less influence, or make it a holy ground, things like that. So it's really pretty cool. Anyway, last weekend we got a nice 10-hour game with five of us. And like I said, during each round, each one of us recorded a confessional in private talking about what we were going to do, who we're going to screw over, who we're going to attack, who we're not going to attack, and all sorts of scheming and stuff. Then we recorded between rounds, and this actually makes for a real cool show. You can find that on the Next State of Games podcast that my buddy Chris, my co-host on the Geek All-Stars, hosts. The State of Games is going to be out this Tuesday, June 5th. If TI4 interests you, I really encourage you to check out the BGG. You can find some good 30-minute videos. You can look on YouTube for them as well. They can give you the good rules overview and help you change your mind, listen to, like I said, or listen to the Next State of Games, where you can hear the highs and the lows of our game and how much fun and how the alliance has changed every round of teams. And if you're really crazy, there's some YouTube videos of 10 hours or more where you can just watch somebody play the game. If you have that much free time, go for it. But it's kind of, you know, you may want to watch those rules videos to really get a handle of, you know, whether you're going to like it or not. Like I said, it's a great, great game. I think Brian will like it a bit more than Scott, but I know both would really love to play a game having limitless time to do things like that. Sorry to ramble on about that. I just wanted to say how much I really enjoyed TI4. I was really kind of surprised, because after the TI3, the Twilight Edition, the third edition, Twilight Imperium, the third edition, I really didn't want to play it ever again. And that was a shame, because it's such a big game. I didn't buy it. My buddy has it, but, you know, I kind of didn't really want to be bothered playing the game. And this is kind of one of those things that you want to get a yearly play in. You don't want to wait 5 years to play it, because it is quite a bit of fun. And, you know, you just want to have that kind of camaraderie and backstabbiness and just having a nice day of playing a game like that. So anyway, see everyone next time. So go out there, everyone. Root for the Vegas Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup. Guys, that's hockey for you out there. And until then, you can follow me on Twitter at GeekJunkBlog, or check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. I'll see everybody next time.
And we're back, everyone. Thanks, Dan, for that. Sorry about the delay, but it's always good to get him on there. I think that's going to do it for today. Now, here's the thing.
We're not doing a Ask TMS?
No, okay. Didn't seem like fun today.
Sorry. No. Didn't mean to bring it up.
No, sore subject of questions. No, it's not that. We'll look at this. We're already at our thing, so we're good.
We are at our hour, yeah.
After this, we're going to record a top secret thing. It is not going up on the live stream, so don't get too excited, everybody sitting there. But if you're a patron, you're going to be able to get this on the patron feed or the, I don't know how we're giving it out. I guess it'll be on the Patreon page, so you'll be notified.
That's right.
That it's there and all that. I don't use that nearly enough, so we're going to start using that more.
And right, what's cool here is there's an RSS feed that you can get with that. So I think you can add the Patreon RSS feed
to anything.
To anything. And mm-hmm. If you add it to iTunes, then you'll get our shows, you know, anything we put to Patreon and get there.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, you'll be able to put that in your apps or whatever. So
right.
So there's that. So that's coming up. We'll let you know as soon as we can, as soon as that's available. We're going to do it at least once a month and come up with some cool stuff. So watch for that. Speaking of which, patreon.com/TMS is the website you can go to support us. There's still time if you want this extra chunk of content that'll come out sometime this weekend. So get in there now. frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Go find it. That's it. Let's do a song. You got something?
I got something. I don't know what it is, but I got something. Tyler Hurst wrote in, TyrosX7 in the chat. Hello, Tyler. Says, hey, guys, June 8th is my wife, Anna, and my 17th anniversary. Yay. Happy anniversary. And Anna's gamer girl, Anna. We know them, see them. Saw them every year at Nerdtacular. Their son is also named Tristan. Just saw them in Vegas, if I remember correctly. Saw so many people in Vegas, but I'm pretty sure we saw them too. They said, could you play Cakes? Love You Madly for us. Thanks, signed Tyler. No, I can't, because it's not a cover. Come on, you know the rules.
Yeah,
it's the first time here.
Yeah, we have rules.
At least I don't think it's a cover. I looked it up, and it's written by McRae, which is the lead singer of Cake. So, sorry. I don't have any covers of it.
Yeah.
So I guess we're done. All right. See you, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. So what I did instead is picked another Cake song, another cover by Cake. And no, It's not, at first I was afraid, I was petrified, because everybody's heard that one. Yeah. Come on, you've heard that one. Yeah. This is a B-side. This is a rarity and came out in 2007. It's Cake doing a cover of Barry White's Never, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, that's so awesome. All right, we'll be back on Monday with a regular show. So come on back for that. There will be a film sack tomorrow. And there will be Dungeons makes its triumphant return after the charity auction thing last week. So come back for that tomorrow as well. Details on the calendar on the Switch site, or just go to frogpants.com. You'll find all the details. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you then.
Whatever, whatever. Girl, I'll do. Forever and ever, yeah, 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 yeah. I'll see you through. Because I've got to keep you pleased in every way I can. I'm gonna give you all of me, as much as you can stand. I'll make love to you right now. That's all I want to do. I know you need it, girl, and you know I need it too. Just like you to make me feel the way you do. Never, never gonna give you up. I'm never, ever gonna stop. Stop the way I feel about you. Girl, I just can't live without you. I'm never, ever gonna quit. Cause quitting just ain't my shit. Gonna stay right here with you. Gonna do all the things you want me to now. Whatever you want, girl, you've got it. And whatever you need, I don't wanna see you without it. That's right. Because you've given me much more than words can ever say. And oh my dear, I'll be right here until my dying day. I don't know just how to say all the things I feel. I just know that I love you so, and it gives me such a thrill. Cause I found what the world is searching for. Here, right here, my dear, I don't have to look no more. And all my days I've hoped and I've prayed for someone just like you to make me feel the way you do. Never, never gonna give you up. I'm never, ever gonna stop. Stop the way I feel about you. Girl, I just can't live without you. I'm never, ever gonna quit. Cause quitting just ain't my shit. Stay right here with you. Gonna do all the things you want me to now. Never, never gonna give you up. I'm never, ever gonna stop. Stop the way I feel about you. Girl, I just can't live without you. I'm never, ever gonna quit. Cause quitting just ain't my shtick. Gonna stay right here with you. Gonna do all the things you want me to now.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. I don't have a thing. No, that's not it. Anyway, I don't have anything to hit. I wasn't ready. It ended so fast.
Yeah.
Here you go. No, that's not it. Here, I'll just play this guy.
That's a good question.
There you go. He's always good for a good time.
Never go wrong with that guy.
Nope.